I think I just felt confident about what I had to bring to the table this time. And in the past, I've always just doubted myself, and therefore I think it sort of stymied me somewhat. And on this record, I felt really confident. I knew I could sing and I knew I could write, and it felt great.
While Garbage always set out to be commercially successful, they never for one second anticipated the scale of that success or the demands that would be placed upon them. Garbage, the album, was a global smash, as were the singles taken from it. These were helped by the plethora of remixes the band commissioned, keen for outside producers to dismantle their songs and remake them for the dance floor or anywhere else. Queer was remixed by, among others, Adrian Sherwood and Depeche Mode's Martin Gore, and came backed by Garbage's version of the Jam song Butterfly Collector. Danny Saber remixed Only Happy When It Rains, which was issued in a die-cut blue metallic sleeve, and he also took on Stupid Girl, as did Dreadzone, Todd Terry and Red Snapper. Perhaps the most altered track, though, was Milk, which Garbage reworked as a single with trip-hop maverick and pioneer Tricky. The record came in a hologram sleeve and was further remixed by the likes of Goldie and Todd Terry. All the singles were accompanied by typically state-of-the-art videos, and in 1996 were collected together in the Garbage Singles box set. Some accused the band of shamelessly exploiting their fans with this onslaught of remixes and packaging, but the truth was that the band were just enjoying themselves with the number of different formats available in the modern pop marketplace. They were a 90s band. They were selling themselves. Why not try to do it with a bit of style and imagination? From the start, Garbage were never precious about their art, finding it much more exciting to be open to the many radical possibilities on offer. Indeed, Garbage were adept at most aspects of marketing their music, yet stalled at the most traditional, old-fashioned method of promotion there was, going on tour. A band conceived and created in the studio, willfully artificial and contrived, it was not a foregone conclusion that Garbage would ever play live, let alone successfully. With their album becoming such a massive hit, however, especially in the US, it seemed they had no choice. So, recruiting Daniel Shulman to play bass live, they set out on the road. The resulting shows were a revelation, with Butch Vig back behind his beloved drum kit, Duke on guitar and Steve Marker triggering samples and loops from behind banks of keyboards. Garbage set out on a world tour that would take up most of the next 2 years. Inevitably, as singer and frontwoman, it was Shirley who felt the pressure most heavily. But it was in the live arena that she really came into her own. While the boys successfully reproduced the trademark Garbage layers of sound, Shirley supplied the element of danger, the sense that anything could happen. Sexually provocative, almost frighteningly so, and the center of everyone's attention, Shirley rose to the challenge magnificently. She was every inch a star. Soon, no one would be asking questions about Butch's production work anymore. It would be Manson that the press would be clamoring to talk to. Everywhere that Garbage went, Shirley conquered. Soon, the whole world would know her name.